I went last night. I put my son to bed. I put him in his crib.
Yeah.
And then he said, "Oh, Dad, where are my stuffed animals?" He sleeps with a cat, a stuffed cat, and a stuffed lion. And so they weren't in his room. So I went out to look for them. Later that night, you know, doing stuff, blah blah blah. I realized I never went back in to bring him his animals, or say goodnight, or tuck him in, or do anything. Turn off the light. Light was on.
He managed to fall asleep without his lovey with the lights on.
And I think I had heard him sort of yelling for me, but I thought he was just being annoying, so I ignored him.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
Do you guys want to try a new series that we might start here? A new, just a couple minute little way to teach people about a thing or two?
Yes.
I was thinking we could call it Things You Didn't Know About. This came about because I was sitting at the gas station today, and I was filling the gas tanks that I fill instead of filling the car tank, of course, before I put them back in the trunk of my car. And I was looking around, and people just so blasé. And it was clear that they had no idea all of the rich history and subtlety that's happening at every gas station in this country. And I know you guys obviously know a thing or two about gas stations. Mm-hmm. You both graduated from high school. You both took the class. So I thought this would probably be an easy place to start, and then maybe we could continue the series later on. But I thought maybe we'd call it Things You Didn't Know About Gas Stations. Does that sound good?
I think it's terrific. I was saying to my lady friend the other day that, you know, it seems like a million years ago that you could still get full serve,
mm-hmm.
right? And you go, and some guy who's down on his luck comes out and he checks your oil and puts the gas in, and that seems like a whole lifetime ago. And these kids today, they don't know about full service,
right? They don't.
Well, in Oregon, they do. In Oregon, it's actually you're required by law to get full service.
Hmm.
They don't even let you pump your own gas.
But doesn't everybody in Oregon ride a bike?
Well, yes, but the few, like one in 18 people that in Oregon that actually drive, they can't get out of their car.
I think there's already things I need to learn. I did not know that. So, Scott, I need this as much
Well, it was my major, so.
There you go.
Ask away.
Yeah. Right. One little fact, I'm just going to sort of start by, I guess, laying the foundation, something that we obviously know. Young people don't realize that every gas station is built on top of an Indian burial ground.
Every one of them?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Do you know the extent to which they're aware of that before they build it, or is it just an unbelievable ongoing coincidence?
Well, no. That's the origin of the whole profession of gas station spotter. You know, they have to know how to find the signs of an... Right, Adam? Isn't that how it works?
Sure, I mean, really. The controversy with the whole Indian burial ground thing comes from later on when oil companies started to realize that, well, there's great real estate everywhere, not just on top of Indian burial grounds. So what they started doing was just pick a spot, bury some Indians, and build on top of it.
Oh, so they were actually fabricating.
Yeah, which, I mean, A, bad mojo, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Indian-wise.
It's like double bad.
Yeah. B, environmentally, they don't need to cause more problems for themselves at oil companies.
The other thing that I was thinking when I was driving today and just about to get gas was, you know, people are so suspicious of oil companies. One, I don't know, what's an oil company? A Chippewa, right? Or a Red Cloud. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you go to a Red Cloud, mm-hmm. right? Or I'm accidentally picking Indian tribe names out of my subconscious.
I can't think of any that aren't.
That's yeah. We've got a whole pocket full of cards. We go to Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
Is the name of it? It's formerly the Dutch Shell that's now owned by a Chinese philosopher who's an Indian, mm-hmm. and that's where we go because we love to fill up and we bring flowers to put by the
air pump.
Let's call them gas tanks.
Yeah. Sure. For now. The other thing is that people assume that these big, giant corporations are heartless and that one gas station that's right next to the highway when you're just about to get onto the highway would charge people 8-9 cents more per gallon than a gas station that's further in town. And what people don't realize is what the actual reason is for that discrepancy. I mean, I don't need to say it. You guys know what it is.
Sure. but you could say it.
Mm. No, I'm going to drink this beer.
Hands in a derby.
You know, one of the richest traditions that they call them the original gas station owners. One of the things that they originated was the idea that before you judge a man, you should have to walk a mile in his moccasins, mm-hmm. holding the hubcap that the restroom key is attached to.
That's not easy to do.
No, it's not easy at all. And the thing is, because you really need to get to the bathroom and you're wearing moccasins and it's hard to run. And I think that is part of the reason that to this day, every gas station owner in America always uses every part of the buffalo.
Why are... Adam, you know this. You did your dissertation on this. Why are gas station restroom doors always outside of the actual gas station?
Oh, this all stems from the traditional, you know, the configuration of the teepee. There's a lot of tradition there in terms of tribal leaders being situated in the center, of the tribe. Village, the tribal village, they used to call it.
The tribal village?
Sure. Don't mock me, Merlin.
No, I'm not mocking you. It's just, it's reminding me of something I read about that they call it a sweat lodge, where like you have to go into the men's room and stay in there until you have wisdom.
Right. So that's exactly, you're hitting exactly right, even though you didn't, yeah. You're obviously not schooled in this subject, but
no, I mean, I'm a polymath. I've learned it on my own, you know.
Right.
I didn't go to fancy gas station Indian school like you did.
No, but you're able to intuit that the modern day gas station restroom is
ear to ground, see very far.
Right. Similar traditions of you know, wisdom getting happen in the facility known as the known today as the gas station restroom, but it's all for the intent of.
Tribal village.
Is that where all of the healing was done, or where was the healing done? That was also in the restroom?
Well, yeah, I mean, first it accompanies the traditional purchasing of ginseng inside near the cash register, actually.
Right, or Ma Wong, also known as Ephedra and Tammy Wynette cassettes. And it's the reason why to this day the stuff that you use inside the sweat lodge is referred to as teepee.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, now I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. What did the pumps, you know, let's say whenever this was, 12,000 years ago, when natives first made their way to the gas stations of this country, what did those pumps actually do before they were, you know, before they pumped gasoline? Or was it always gasoline?
Peace pipe.
Oh.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, we as the conquering whites get a bad rap for a lot of that, but you should not be smoking, you know, at a gas station.
First of all, it rots your teeth.
It's terrible. Are you kidding me? I got a cavity that you could, you know, park your sweat lodge in. Oh, God.
Awkward cake.
Oh, I got... good news about potential sponsorship.
Great.
I'm listening.
We have some fans who are from the UAE. Do you guys know where that is?
Sure.
The UAE.
Yeah, big fan.
United Arab Emirates. Namely Dubai, which is, I don't know if it's the capital of UAE or just the biggest or richest city state in the Arab Emirates. But the folks in Dubai, they love what we do. They love our style. They love the show. They... think that we would be really great spokespeople for this campaign that they're creating. This came about, I shared a plane back with these guys from some conference or other, and they, you know, they were saying, oh, it's so great, Dubai is so nice, there's all this stuff we have so much stuff. And I said, oh, it's like, so is it like an Arab Las Vegas? And they looked at me sort of angry and this sort of quizzical look in their eye, like I would even suggest it. One of them made a phone call as we were landing, and as we were getting off the plane, he leaned over and said to me, by the way, we built, in the time that we were on the plane, we built a scale model of Las Vegas in Dubai just to show that Dubai has got everything.
Wow. He made a call from the plane, and they built a scale model.
Well, he used the, you know, he used the little the
oh, just the little Verizon phone.
Or the Verizon phone. Yeah. He slid his credit card through the phone. He didn't use his cell phone or anything like that. But yeah, he made a call. By the time we were getting off the plane, he had built a scale model. Their marketing slogan that they're working on is, "We've got it in Dubai," and it to them means everything. So it became this game over, you know, as we shared a taxi ride back to my house, it became this game of, you know, what could I suggest that they, you know, wouldn't have in Dubai, and they actually would literally build it. So there are actually three guys who do a semi-weekly show called You Look Nice Today in Dubai right now, who do exactly what we do a few seconds later, because they obviously have to hear what we're saying in Dubai now, because that's one thing I suggested. You know,
I had no idea. First of all, I had no idea that that existed, but I also had no idea that, that this technology and this kind of will to create even existed anywhere, let alone in the UAE.
They're really trying to build the most amazing place in the world, and they feel like they won't have the most amazing place in the world if they don't have everything. This is where we come in. We're the guys who, A, suggest to them stuff that they don't yet have, and they build it. And then also, you know, that becomes like a magazine ad campaign. Above, you know, the writing at the top of the ad says, "They've got it in Dubai." Mm. And then below would be like a swimming pool made out of donkey's tears. Or, you know, literally whatever we can think of.
So the way they're bringing this us in is they feel like we are thought leaders in the space around blue sky solutioneering. So if we've got some idea of a pie in the sky, they will literally build a pie in the sky.
Hold on a second. I'm just getting confirmation that they've built a pie in the sky.
Holy crap.
I have no idea how it's held up. I don't know anything else.
I mean, this is a lot of power, Scott. I assume there's going to be some kind of revenue stream associated with this.
Well, in addition to whatever money we would make from this traditional advertising campaign, we're also already realizing revenues from, get this, Baby on a Dog, the restaurant concept we created that hasn't even broken ground in Montana yet.
Right.
Already built, already serving paying customers.
Is it full size?
It is a full size Baby on a Dog restaurant.
Huh.
Just one of them?
Yeah.
It's staffed, and it's already it's stocked with awkwardness, and people are already there wanting to leave.
Yep. They did a banner ad campaign with Yahoo doing, you know, showing pictures from the restaurant, and then above, "They've got it in Dubai."
There's a part of me that's not surprised by this, Scott, because I know that my vision, what I see, you know, vis-a-vis the web, has a lot to do with the fact of being in the U.S. and speaking English.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I had not been aware that any of this even existed. I don't know. I mean, so, Adam, I mean, have you, obviously you haven't had time to think about this, but I mean, do you have any thoughts about stuff that you'd like to throw at them?
Well, I just kind of want to screw with Dubai a little bit. Like, I'd like to think of things. You guys are kind of shooting low. Pardon me for saying, but you're thinking of things that are actually going to be practically built. I'd like to stump them, and
you're gonna culture jam them a little bit.
Yeah, culture jams.
I think that's a great idea. They might be interested in rising to the challenge. Or what do you think?
Pretty much, if we suggested they built like a full scale model of Dubai. In Dubai, that would pretty much shut them down, right? It would cause them to implode.
You're saying it's one colon one, right? So it's pardon my French, but this is literally it's this exact duplicate of Dubai that we built on top of Dubai.
Yeah, but they would put their best guys on it. It would take years, billions.
I gotta say that I think you've done it. I think you've inserted some recursive code. I don't know where they put their tools.
Yeah,
because they're gonna have to get more tools. And then store them on the tools that they have.
They might surprise us, though. And maybe you hold off. Maybe I don't suggest that right away because this could be fun. You know, we could.
Mm.
You think they would fly us there?
You know what, though? I really like that. I like that for the grand finale, though, Adam. To me, that's got a certain.
I just jumped the gun.
No.
It's
but
great.
I think it's terrific. I think that goes way high on the board. It's got a kind of Gödel's incompleteness theorem to it that I like because I think it's going to be. What would you think about lady robots that could be ridden? Is that let me finish the thought. I know this is I'm sex negative, I'm Dubai, but like what if it was just a, and when I say a sexy lady robot, I don't want her to look exactly like a real person. I'm really more interested in the robot part. Right. But she's definitely sexy.
And the riding part. There's nothing sexual about that.
No. No. I mean, no sexier than like a, you know, a girl and a horse. And I feel like if you had a whole nation of people who are very awkward about being around women, and they had, and I think, and I want to just be clear about this, the robots are going to be larger than life-sized, but not a lot. So basically, there's going to be a lot of super hot, rideable women.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That are just under 8 feet tall.
Right, right, right. And when you say rideable, do you mean like there is a saddle or that you just hop on their shoulders like piggyback style?
Both. They're convertibles. So ordinarily, just for getting around, you'd ride them like you would an ostrich, right?
Sure.
Neep, glop, zeep, zorp. I will take you to baby on a dog. Gleep, glop.
I envision Dubai building entire roads, restructuring their roads and transportation around these 8 foot tall lady robots.
Well, God knows we could order them too. I think they'd be called Tang Tangs for the sound that their little robot feet would make when they walk down
tang,
the pavement.
Tang, right. Tang, tang, tang. That's great. I mean, guys, this is the place that really has built, you know, an island resort of man made islands that's shaped to look like the world. Like these guys do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah. I've learned about them. Every week in the New York Times Magazine, I learn about another country near Saudi Arabia I've never heard of that wants mm-hmm. me to do business there. And mm-hmm. and that, I've learned a lot about Dubai from there.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I sit there and I evacuate my bowels mm-hmm. and I read the entire magazine. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen a word about rideable lady robots.
Yeah. And you know, guys, guess when you're going to see it? Next week in the New York Sunday Times Magazine. That's going to be the spread. It's right. going to be our ideas built, photographed, and then put into these advertisements under the slogan they've got it in Dubai. So
I think also though, I mean, one thing that would be nice is, you know, clearly God bless them. These are people with unlimited resources, but there's a certain kind of failure of imagination, obviously, that if they could do this and they haven't done it, clearly we're filling a gap for them. And so right. I think part of what we do is we help them to figure out how to do this. We figure out how to show them how to spin this, and we potentially show them how to not let everybody have the same amount of power, because that's going to have scale issues. Or will it? Maybe one of our wishes is that there not be scale issues.
That's almost like a genie.
I know. I want more wishes. Yeah, I know. You're right. But I do like the idea of evacuating my bowels on Sunday morning, and reading a very long editorial called "Come for the Food, Stay for the Tang Tangs."
That's right. The only I'm going to say the only one asterisk to this to all of this is that anything that implies that women are equal, attractive, or human, or that includes mention, reference, or allusion to alcohol, will be built and it will be created and they will feature it, but everything of that nature will be surrounded by a black curtain.
Oh, God.
So the advertisement's going to be sort of frustrating, because what you'll see is you'll see these wonderful streets, you'll see these men riding something, having a great time, but then you won't see what they'll be riding, because it'll be there'll be a black curtain, sort of like a voting booth.
Does it like on wheels, maybe? It just surrounds it and just kind of like almost like the rain cloud over like a sad cartoon character.
I'm not sure how they'll implement it. I guess it depends on whatever invention we come up
with. Scott, can you capture that real quick though? That maybe let's also figure out a way that for people we don't like, we can make a rain cloud go over their head like a cartoon character.
Just
capture that one. But okay, so let me just clarify though. So it's not basically a problem with 8 foot tall things that you can ride. What if we just subjugate the female robot?
Well, they want to portray a society in which women are equal, or at least participate in society, but then at the same time,
crush them.
Are not at all equal.
Crush them. I understand. I think I have the answer, and there's three parts. First of all, the beer tap taps out of her bosoms will definitely have black curtains around them. Second.
I see. So like a selective curtaining. Okay.
That's right. It's a selective curtaining. And I think she's got she's wearing kitten heels and an apron, and then. You know, she's still going to be able to take you where you need to go. Arriving at baby on a dog.
That's good.
Hello.
So as long as it's got a masculine voice, it doesn't even need. See, it sounds to me like we could take the curtain down. You're not going to have an issue with censorship of of the actual form.
Oh, you're saying we get pre-op robots.
No, so it could be, well, that's it could be not men. At all what I'm saying, but yes.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that it's what we've got is a branding problem. I think we just need to brand them less as women. We could call them men. We could rename the what did you call them, nipple taps?
Mm-hmm.
We could call them something different.
Oh, I see.
Besides,
oh, I get.
So alcohol. Call them right.
Yeah, we'll call it we're treading on really close ground here. We've got to be careful that we honor the tradition of these people.
Titty tea.
I'm just getting a call in from my contact at Dubai Advertising Board. He's telling me, A, they're amenable to the idea of Tang Tangs, and there will be some covering, but they're able now to cover things very specifically. So basically... Oh, okay. All right, I got it. So basically what we'll see is nipple burkas. So the actual nipple will be covered, you know, literally the surface area of the beer tap / nipple will be covered in a tiny burka.
So it could be like a stein. It could be like kind of like a little slightly hinged top. It'll just kind of pop up and out comes your beverage.
That's right. That's right. There will be just sort of
but
over
it's, but
that.
It's made of, but it's made of cloth and it's uncomfortable and humiliating.
Yeah, a little a humiliating cozy.
Areola cozy. Sure, I right. can see that.
Much like you put on your golf clubs, you know, that your wife makes you put on your golf clubs, something like that.
Yes.
So that's great. And they're into it. They said they're already prototyping the Tang Tangs. They love the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well yeah. done, guys.
Yeah. This is great. So that's week one. I don't know what really we can top. I mean, clearly whatever week we want to finish on, we'll simply press the red button. And go with the Borges option that Adam suggested.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like MTV to show videos again.
That would be actually really handy if I have you guys ever been to a hot spring? You ever been to like a
yeah.
hot spring where some people are naked and some people wear bathing suits or that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of totally clothing optional, but you're sort of a douche if you wear a bathing suit, but then the people who aren't wearing bathing suits are even bigger douches. Like if I could have some sort of penis burka that would both cover my genitals, but also indicate my shame while at the same time covering my shame.
I'm a professional voice actor.
Actually, I am though. Can I very briefly ask you guys about the whole hot spring thing?
Yeah.
Like if you go to, you know, one of those places where it's optional and you're not really sure which way you want to go. Like Adam, which way do you swing?
If half the people are naked and half of them aren't, you know, it depends on the day. Typically, at a hot spring, it's a little bit stinky, right? A little bit of sulfur in the air.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to let him out.
Leash or no leash?
No. I've had experiences with picking wrong. So. Oh, wow. Hey. Yeah. And you find out, you know, that nude hour ended 15 minutes before. And suddenly you're a man walking around children with your wang out. You know, because it's a hot springs and you're an idiot.
It is so hard to know what to do in
those
situations.
There should be like, a, you know, when there's a hurricane, they put up the two flags. There should be something. There should be some kind of a system. There should be something that makes it very clear. There should be an visual thing, maybe something audible. And I think there should maybe be like a baby butler that comes up and says to you periodically, we're still in clothed mode.
Just so wangs out, sir. Wangs in, sir. Wang chung, sir.
Tang tang, sir.
Your Tang Tang.
I've never actually been to a nude hot spring, but I've been to a couple of nude beaches. But I've never, I would never, I don't think, because it seems to me the only time that I've ever been to a nude beach, it's only dudes, and it's only dudes above the age of 60 or so. And the entertainment comes from just staying at the beach and like point them all out. Like, look at that guy. Look at that one over there.
This is the narcissism of fantasy nudity. It's something Freud talked about in Civilization and Its Discontents. It's the problem of everybody, because people love to masturbate. And you think, because you've masturbated a bunch about pretty ladies, you're pretty sure that whenever somebody says nudity, they mean pretty ladies. And in my experience, you discover very quickly that that is not the case.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I was at a hot spring. Did I tell you guys this story where I was at the nude beach and I showed up and I didn't really know where to look. And so I just put my sunglasses on and looked forward. And minutes later, two guys came up and played that beach paddleball game in front of me. Mm-hmm. They had shirts on and they had no bottoms on. Mm-hmm. They were bottomless. Mm-hmm. And clearly they wanted to keep their shoulders out of the sun. But they, wangs were still out.
No, I don't like that a bit.
That's sexy.
With a shirt?
Because you're talking about bottomless. You said bottomless, and all I'm picturing is sexy naked lady bottomless. I skipped over the paddleball part.
See, that's the problem. Again, that's the Freud thing. You know, it's not like that, Adam. It is not like
that.
Well,
what am I going to do? Picture the two guys playing paddleball in front of Scott? Picture Scott on a nude beach? No. Thanks.
Well, have you ever been to the Y? Can I ask you that?
Yeah.
You go to your little gym there, right?
Yeah, I got a little gym.
It's a club.
I got a little gym.
The club you belong to but don't go to.
You go to the little gym. You show up at the little gym, which is the small children's play area.
Yeah, it's like when you go skiing.
It's like a gymboree. It's next to the gymboree. It's like Pinkberry has all the knockoff Pinkberries. I got a little gym.
Right. So you go to little gym with your outfit, your workout outfit, and you're ready to hit the treadmill or something, and you just sort of blow through these tiny children.
Watch your mouth.
Just bottomless. Bottomless in front of a lot of out of shape kids.
Yeah. I'm not welcome back there.
I hear something. What's going on?
What was that?
This is Los Angeles, my friends.
Did we just go back in time?
I think we're going to go back and confront Thomas Jefferson.
Merlin, maybe from a little bit of the gist that I was just getting was perhaps a suggestion that there be a sort of Title IX for pornography. Title IX being, of course, the ruling that mandated equal time for women's sports in universities.
Yes.
Are you saying that there should be equal time for ugly people in nakedness?
I think that's not really so far off. I mean, you know, from an economic standpoint, I think we've all been withdrawing from the bank of hotties for a long time, and it's given us a really, you know, skewed idea of what normal people look like. Mm-hmm. So I think whenever you masturbate, you should have to go look at a fat person when you're done.
Or
not a fat person. I say a fat person, but really, I mean any kind of a kind of unpleasant naked person.
Sort of an erotic rosary is what you're saying.
Very, very much like an erotic rosary.
Gotcha.
By the way, I saw Erotic Rosary 2 again on Cinemax the other day. And what's funny is it actually does get better every time you watch it.
It does.
I'm trying to remember. I think it's Kim Novak and Ray Milland and Rosie Greer.
And Ray Romano.
And Burgess Meredith as the Pope.
Yeah. And what they do with the beads.
You gotta finger it quicker. You gotta eat lightning and crap thunder. It's an erotic rosary, not a woman.
And finally,
I wonder if one thing that we could suggest for Dubai is maybe something might be fun would be like an ugly Hooters.
I could totally get behind ugly Hooters. But they'd still be exactly the same outfits. Like you'd be wearing those weird thick pantyhose and the orange shorts.
And the too much makeup and the overly, you know, flirtatious attitude. Everything would be the same, except it would be staffed by not particularly fat or whatever people, just ugly people.
People who are like just short of circus freaks.
right. Maybe missing teeth.
Like you might have Nancy the Pinhead. Right. Would be your server.
Wings are good. Mm. More beer?
Hey guys, this is your first time at Uggos?
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
Which way did the Tang Tang go? Well, there's a beautiful 8-foot lady I ride.